The Sugya Pesach Pasuach is probably one of the most relevant lehalacha of all the issues of all the kulos in Hilchos Yichud. And there's all sorts of fascinating discussion, both lamdish and practical, and girsos, so a little bit of everything in Pesach Pasuach. The Gemara says right after Bayil Be'ir and Pei Aleph Amad Aleph, Rav Yosef says Pesach Pasuach Lushos Harabim. Ein Choshesh and Mishum Yichud. Very simple, very straightforward. And that is quoted pretty directly in the Rishonim and in the Torah, in the Shulchan Aruch, Siv Tes. But there are four issues that need to be worked out. And the first issue which the Pesachei Tshuva documents at some length is the question of how you translate the word Pasuach. Pesach Pasuach L'Shus Arab. What does Pasuach mean? So you saw that Pesach Tshuva quotes from Tshuva Sarajba. Hopefully you saw the Tshuva Sarajba inside. And Chelek Aleph, Aleph Rishon Aleph. He says that Pasuach means that it is that it's unlocked. And that's the question. If it's unlocked but not wide open. So the Tshuva Sarajba appears to say that the Pesach Pasuach L'Shus Arabim just means it's not na'ul, an unlocked door, and his right is from the halachas of Yayin. Halachas of Yayin Nesach, halachas not of Yayin Nesach, but Maga Akum, or Yayin Akum. Yayin Nesach formally is a wine that's actually used for Avodah Zarah. But if a Nachri touches the wine, you have Maga Akum, then there's a concern he may have been Menasech for Avodah Zarah. There are long sugyas in Avodah Zarah about the conditions under which you have enough supervision, you have tzivinichnas and so on and so forth. You have enough supervision, the Nachri is not going to try to, even if he's near your wine, he's not going to try to be menaseh. So the Gemara says on top of Daf Ayin, Avodah Zarah, that Achte Nachri Ledasha, that if the Nachri, locked the door, so then all the wine is asar unless it's near their habiza. There's a crack in the door, the Gemara says, the Nachri shut the door, locked the door, but there's a crack in the door, so whatever you can see, that part of the room that you can see via the crack, that's mutter, and everything else is asar. And the Rashba says, look, the Gemara says, achdei, the Nachri locked it. So it means if he shut the door, but he didn't lock it, it was closed but a lock, so then it would be a heter gamar. So that's a simple reading of the Rashba, is that the same should be true in Hilchos Yichud. A man and woman are alone together in a room, in a house, and the door, if the door is locked, it's a problem. If the door is unlocked, even though it's not wide open, that should be mutter. But the Rebbe Akiva Eiger, Pesachei Tshuva points out the two long, long simanim in Rebbe Akiva Eiger, Simen Kuf and Simen Kuf Aleph, the Maamar comes to try to point you to particular paragraphs. Part of a much larger conversation between the Beis Meir and Rebbe Akiva Eiger, two of the Gedolei Achronim who are contemporaries. Simon Kuf presents a lot of what the Beis Meir said, and Simon Kuf Aleph, as you saw, Rebbe Akiva Eiger responding. And one of the many issues that come up in the complex situation they're discussing is this issue of, is there an Isur Yichud when the door is closed, shut, but not locked? How do you define the word Pasuach, Pesach Pasuach? Does it just mean, does Pasuach mean unlocked? The Pasuach means actually wide open. And the Beis Meir says that he doesn't think that the Rashba meant to say that's actually mutter. As you saw, the Beis Meir says, no, Rashba was just saying that she's not Hilchos Sota, not whether there's a violation l'chadchila of Yichud or not. He says, of course, the door is shut, it's in Esr Yichud. But she won't become, it wouldn't be considered a stira la'asra habayla. If a woman, a married woman, is alone with a man post-kinoi, so that we've discussed in the past, the din of stira is similar but not necessarily identical to yichud. The stira that follows a kinoi not only is forbidden to do, that's Isra yichud, but post-stira, that actually she becomes a stira labayla misafik up until she drinks the meisota, which obviously nowadays is not an option, so she becomes a stira labayla, with a combination of kinoi and stira. So the Beis Meir says in Simen Kuf, quoted Simen Kuf in the Rebbe Kiv Eger, all the Rashba was saying is that to create Israel a Baila B'dieved, for it to be considered stira, the door has to be locked. But for an Isra Yichud L'Chachila, even if the door is closed but not locked, that is also forbidden. Just before we go on, just to clarify terminology, when I say Asr L'Chachila, Asr B'dieved, never touched this in the past, which is a very important point. Also, chatchila also b'diavad does not mean, you know, ideal halacha versus when you're stuck. That's b'shas hadchak. L'chatchila b'diavad literally, l'chatchila means batchila, before the fact, and b'diavad in Aramaic is b'she asa, b'diavad. So this is before the fact and after the fact. Isra chatchila of yichud doesn't mean, you know, if you're a really good Jew, you'll be machmir if you're yichud. It means, if I ask you, may I enter the situation, the answer is absolutely no. That's an isra chatchila. If I ask, Kodim Hamasa, absolutely aser. If you did enter that situation, it's you did an aveira, and you're going to have to do tshuva. The Isra B'diavad means after the situation of Yichud, what are the consequences? Is there now an Isra B'diavad? It means now she's asur l'bayla liol amvod because of that, as a result, as a consequence of that stira. The reason why there's a lack of clarity about the terminology is Rashi would like to point out there is a rule, the Shas Hadchak Ediavad Dami. That which is mutter b'diavad will often be mutter l'chatchila when you're in a difficult situation. It's not really relevant here, but it's relevant in certain other areas of halacha. The shas hadchak means when you're stuck. Sometimes people sort of elide the terms and you sort of think b'diavad means when you're stuck. It's not what b'diavad means. The rules of b'diavad sometimes apply to when you're stuck, to shas hadchak. So again, here, isra b'diavad means does she become, as a result of this session of being alone with this fellow, does she become asur labailas? The Beis Meir says that's all the Rashba meant. That a woman would not become a sota asur labaila misafek based on the door being closed but not locked. It doesn't count as a stira, but it would be a violation of an isur yichud. And whether it's a married woman or whatever other situation there is, of an isur yichud, single or married, it would be a violation of yichud unless the door is wide open. He also has a girsa point, you may have seen. He says one letter makes all the difference. He says he thinks there's a girsa issue that the one line in the Rashba, the way we have it, it says ein ze yichud. He says it's really ein ze yisod. The Rashba never says na yichud. All he was talking about was that's the context of the Rashba. So to Labayla, Beis Meir said no, Rashba was never matir yichud with a closed but unlocked door. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger agrees in the following tshuva Siman Kuf Aleph, and the Pesachet Tshuva quotes this. Pesachet Tshuva also points out. While it's true that in mid-Achronim, late 1700s, early 1800s, Rabbi Akiva Eiger and Beis Meir Amachmir, the Radvaz, who was a late Rishon, early Achron in Egypt in the 1500s, or a good two centuries earlier, is the Gedole, he was Migedole Mitzrayim. And he's also, like the Rashba, one of the most prolific Tshuva writers, at least in terms of Tshuva Zarek stand. Each of them wrote, Rashba and Radvaz, each wrote thousands of tshuvas. It's overwhelming to think of how they had the time. Again, they weren't typing. This was being handwritten, and it probably was a Talmud, a tshuvas harash. He talks about having a Talmud who would copy the tshuvas. This is before, forget about modern technology, this is before carbon paper, the early 20th century also. So if you want to keep a copy for your records before you send up this long tshuva to some community, so either the Meshev himself would write two copies, or else you had a Talmud who would make a copy for the records before he sent it off. So there are things that Rashba and Radvaz are both very, very prolific Tshuva writers. So Radvaz, that's what Pesachet Tshuva points out, Radvaz quotes the Rashba without any hesitations, without any girsa issues, and Radvaz appears to think that it is really mutter. That closed but unlocked is mutter, and the Dvar Halacha points out that the Ma'bit, who was more or less a contemporary of the Radvaz, lived in Eretz Yisrael in the 1500s. He lived in Yerushalayim, I believe, unlike most of the Talmid Chacham of that time who lived in Tzfat. Rizal and the Beis Yosef and Shitim Ugletz and so on and so forth. Ma'bit, I believe, lived in Yerushalayim. So the Ma'bit also, Tzvar Halacha points out, the Ma'bit in the Tshuvas also assumes that closed but unlocked is Mutter. So that's a Machlokas, again, the Beis Meir B'Kiva Eger versus the Radvaz and the Mabit, closed but unlocked is that mutter or usser. In other words, how you translate pasuch? The pasuch means wide open. Pasuch just means unlocked. In terms of the bir advarim, so the Beis Meir says the reason why Pesach pasuch is mutter is because people can see you. Anyone walking by over in Veshavim will be able to see you. The door is wide open; they'll be able to see you. So that's not yichud at all. That's not yichud. That's not a problem. So the Radvaz apparently does not think that you need to be visible. Radvaz just thinks that the possibility of entry is enough. That's the Pashup shot in why one would be Mekel. The Ezer Mikodesh on the bottom of Shulchan Aruch had a very difficult approach. That the Radvaz is Mekel because of a low plug. Very hard to understand what he's driving at. That's the Pashtus. Pashtus is that what we have here really is the Machlok is what's the driver of the Heter Pasuach? Is it visibility? Or is it the definite visibility or the possibility of entry? And Neuber sometimes uses a nusach the yichud, according to the Radvaz and Mabit, yichud is a situation of inhibited entry. If there's inhibited entry for other people, that's when you have a problem, yichud. But if there's uninhibited entry for other people, the door is unlocked, people can walk in. So then that's not the yichud. So where the nafkaminas? Number one is what we just spoke about. Let's say the door is closed but not locked. At least in principle, we have to circle back. At least in principle, when the door is closed but not locked, that's obviously machlokes. And moreover, as the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin, the Rashba quoted, indicates how much of the house is mutter. Let's say the door is wide open. So even when the door is wide open, there's going to be, and the door is closed, obviously the machlokes is Riki Veger, Beis Meir versus Advaz Ma'abit, is there a heter yichud whatsoever? Even when the door is open, Riki Veger Beis Meir would limit it to the part of the house that's visible from the outside. Shkaich left the door open. Riki Veger Beis Meir said, okay, it's in the front room, or that part of the front room that's visible to someone who's walking by, as much of it, any other room in the house, where you're not visible, and you're out of eye shot, so then it's not going to be a mutter. And then there's a further, sort of a third step, that working with the Radvaz and the Mabit, so the Dvar Halacha quotes from the Chibina Rav, the Dov of Mesharim, and his Chuvas, that he thinks an extension of the door being unlocked, is let's say the door is locked, but there are specific people who have the key, who may likely be showing up. You have a roommate who has the key, you have a family member who has the key, and then they could show up at any time. So that would be that would also be, at least in principle, Mafteach B'yad Shomer, would also be Mutter according to the Radvaz and the Mabit. Now there's a fourth nafkamina, maybe not so much nafkamina halacha, we'll have to see how it plays out. We're really going to get into this more next week. Is the sugi we're going to get into next. We'll hold off on this conversation in detail for the next chabura. The next piece of Gemara, it's earlier in the Shulchan Aruch, it's Sif Vav, it's a few Sif from earlier, but it's the next piece of Gemara in Kiddushin, is about Anashim Mibifnim V'Nashim Bachutz, Anashim Bachutz V'Nashim Mibifnim. The Gemara talks about a situation. We have an inner room and an outer room, and there's a group of men in one, a group of women in the other, and the Gemara discusses in which case is it mutter, in which case is it aser. And there are several svarim that Rishon and Achron seem to be grappling with why should that ever be aser? Isn't it Pesach Pasuach? There's a group right on the other side of the door. Isn't that Pesach Pasuach? So the Ritva deals with it, the Rif appear perhaps his hashmata indicates that he deals with it. There's some Achronim that deal with it explicitly. The Binyan Tzion deals with it, and the Chacham Sadim deals with it. So offhand, anyone who's dealing with it lechora is following the Radvaz and the Mabit, because presuming the situation we'll get into this in greater detail. Mircham the next chabura, what's the kasha? Isn't that Pesach Pasuach? The door is closed. So to say, well, there's a group of people in the next room over, as one man walks from the men's room, the men's side, into the women's side, oh, maybe there should be a problem of yichur, right? Or vice versa. A woman walks into the room where all the men are. Maybe there should be a problem of yichur, right? So some of the Rishon HaKadosh say, oh, what's the issue? Isn't it Pesach Pasulah? So to whatever answer you're going to give, offhand to raise that question indicates that there could be Pesach Pasulah when the door is closed. So we'll get into the answers, but we'll have to see what the answers are. And maybe the answer is, no, I hold like the Beis Meir of Kivager. But that adds more, the fact that there's a whole group that are grappling with what appears to be a stira between the Heter Pesach Pasuach and the following Gemara, the Isar of Pini Vechitzam, that appears to indicate that there's a large group that believes, like the Radvaz, that Pesach Pasuach could be in play, that Pesach could be enforced and could be a valid Heter even when the door is closed. And the Dilkin Dvar Halacha, he has a longer list. He has a longer list of additional achronim that appear to line up with the Radvaz. There is also two additional key notes on this conversation, this first part, the largest part of the conversation of Pesach Pasuach. Is this debate about how you translate the word pasuach? two more points. One more point is theoretical in terms of rias and sugyas, and the second point is very, very, very relevant, a practical lamasa limitation on this machlokas. So yesh la'ayin, whether we could bring a raya to in terms of this machlokas Radvaz Ma'bit versus Beis Meir or Kivager, going back to the Rashba source, you'll remember at least according to the Radvaz's gears in the Rashba is using the halachas of Yayin of Odazara as a source for Hilchas Yichud, and as a matter of fact, Vahalacha quotes that as a result, the Chidan, other Acharonim, start working on looking through the sugyas of Yayin and see what else can we learn about other Pratim in Hilchas Yichud. Once we have this equation, that's fantastic, because there's not that much in the sugyas of Yichud are pretty small. The sugyas of Yayin stretch over many, many dapim. Now the Rashba, as we saw, had quoted the Gemara in Daf Ayin about the Biza, the crack in the door where the door is closed. And the truth is, 9 blot earlier in Daf Samach Aleph, the Gemara says, "Befei, you have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus Harabim. Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus Harabim is Matir B'Yayin. And the Rishonim there have a debate. And the Mishnah says, Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus Harabim is Matir B'Yayin. Is that language, Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus Harabim. So there is a debate amongst the Rishonim, How many barrels are covered by that heter? You have the open door. I have a warehouse. I have a warehouse with many, many bottles of wine, many, many open barrels of wine, and the nachrim are inside. But it's mutter, the Mishnah says, because the front door is open to Shusharab. So the Rishonim debate, well, how many of the barrels are mutter? All the barrels? Or just the barrels that are visible through the Pesach? You look there, there's a whole the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ranul, the later Chachme Svara, I'd say that all the barrels in the house are mutter. It's maybe the implication of the Rambam also, hard to know for sure. And they quote that the Ravid, who lived a few generations before them, he said, no, only those barrels which are visible through the Pesach. So offhand, you would say, now that's mamish, this machokas. That's what we said before. Nafkin number two in the Machlokas Beis Meir Kivager versus Radvaz and Mabit is even if the door is wide open, how much of the house is covered by Pesach Pasuach? That appears to already be a Machlokas centuries earlier. It's not just the 1500s, 1700s. It's already in the 1100s, 1200s, 1300s. It sounds like it's a Machlokas Ravid versus the Rashba Visi Aso. that the Ravid says it's only that which is visible, and the Rashba says the whole house. Sounds like the Ravid holds like the Beis Meir Kiveger, and the Rashba, Visiyasa, the Rashba, the Ritva, and the Ran are lining up with the Radvaz. Now, it's not 100% clear because that would be exciting. It's not 100% clear that you can make the equation only because the Ritva, the Rajba brought around from Daf Ayin, and that's a case where the Nachra is already there. The Nachra is in the house with the bottles of wine, the barrels of wine, and he locked the door, or he didn't lock the door, he closed the door, right? The Achde, the Rajba translated as he locked the door. So whatever I can say, I have that crack. The crack saves me. If there's no crack, then we're in trouble. So, that Gemara, the Rashba said, is equivalent to a case of Yichud. Now, the Ritva on Daf Samach Aleph says that the reason all the barrels in the house are mutter because the Nachri is scared that you may see him walking in. So that may not be the same thing, because that the Yichud case, they are already in. The Yichud case is more similar to Daf Ayin than to Daf Samach Aleph. Hard to know if everyone agrees with Ritva. So again, it may or may not. The Machlokas and Daf Samach Aleph, it's very, the language of the Mishnah grabs you. Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim is Matar B'Yayin. There is a Machlokas there, whether it's the whole house or not the whole house. It may be that the Rashba, the Rashba is a source, an earlier source of Radvaz, unless you say, as the Ritva says, that the reason it's not, you know, he's inside and he's worried you may come in and see him, which is what the Radvaz had argued, but rather he's worried you may see him walking in. Okay, so that's not the same. So again, whether the Machlokas we showed him in Daf Samach Aleph and Avodah Zarah is relevant or not is an open question, but certainly there is a Machlokas in Hilchos Yichud between the Radvaz and the Mabit versus the Rabbi Kivegan and the Beis Meir. Was the Rashba Mekel even the Isser Yichud, or was he just talking about the Sota and this is irrelevant? It's very important to note, and here I said two additional points. The first additional point was there may or may not be a Raya from Daf Samach Aleph and Avodah Zarah. The second, but I told you what's somewhat theoretical. The second point is intensely practical. And that is that one needs to recognize is a very significant, two significant limitations on this kula of the Radvaz. Pashtus is we do accept the Radvaz, and many Achronim who follow the Radvaz, and we'll get to in the Chabura, we'll talk about Libo Gospel, we'll see maybe there's some limitation on Radvaz. So Pashtus, we do accept the Radvaz, however, two very, very significant limitations, Halacha L'maisa. With this, we'll close up our discussion of Pasuach, we'll move on to other issues. Number one, the whole cool of Radvaz is, it's not magical that the door is unlocked. It's mutter. Again, the logic of the Radvaz, we don't accept the Ezra Mekodesh. The logic of the Radvaz, that even the door is closed but unlocked, is mutter. It's why? Because there's a real concern that people may walk in. So even if no one can see you just passing by, but there's a real chance that people are going to walk in. So that needs to be considered. If my door is closed but not locked, is there a real chance that people are walking in? So yeah, if you live in a little village, you live in a bungalow colony, you're in a bungalow colony perhaps, where everyone is on top of everyone else, and everyone is, you know, walking in and out, you know, freely into each other's homes, and if the door is unlocked, people try the door of someone else's house. If it's unlocked, they'll march in. So yeah, so if an unlocked door means people will actually enter, so then it's mutter. But in most cases, the fact that the door is unlocked, lo malav, lo morid, no one's going to just walk over to someone else's shut door and see if they can walk in. That's very, very important. That what the Radvaz is saying, again, it's not magical just because the door is locked, it's mutter. What he's saying is that it's mutter either if people can actually see you or if or if there's a real chance that people will come in. So what that ends up usually meaning is you need some type of Dovev Meisharim type of situation, what Shabina Ravdi mentioned before. There need to be people, again, either you're in the sort of bubble economy where people are walking randomly, or you actually have people who either you know naturally may be showing up, or at the very least, you ask them. If you know you're going to be stuck at home, and there's going to be, you can be stuck at home with domestic help, let's say, female domestic help, you can be stuck at home for a few hours. So you can ask one of your neighbors, say, I'm leaving the door unlocked, and feel free to pop it as many times as you like in the next couple hours. There's some cookies on the counter, and come and say hello. So if you set up a situation where there's a real chance, a legitimate chance that people are going to come in, and you probably want to say, feel free to stop it as many times as you want. Otherwise, if you're going to be in the house for 3 hours, and your friend pops in after an hour, he's gone, and now you don't expect anyone, and now you're stuck for the next 2 hours. There needs to be a real chance that someone else is going to be coming in. That's point number one in terms of limiting this Radvazit. Well, 1 second. And then point number two, and I want to hear your question. Point number two is goes back to earlier on Daf Pei Aleph, where after Malkan al Yichud, I think we discussed this in passing in the previous Chabura, but perhaps we did not. After Malkan al Yichud, the Gemara said, Malkan alo Tova Hashmua. That we would give malchus even if inappropriate behavior that generates rumors. And that's sort of another way of expressing a concept that's not otherwise named explicitly in the Yichud Sugis in Kiddushin, but certainly comes up in Ksubas and elsewhere, and that is the concept of Mechur Hadavar. Nen Chavav Ayin Resh. Mechur Hadavar. Sometimes it's inappropriate. It's inappropriate even though it's technically not a violation of Yichud. And those are two standards. I need to fulfill both standards. In order for me to be in a situation where I'm alone with a woman or women, so I need to now want to make sure that I'm not in violation of Hilchus Yichud technically. There needs to be some kula or another. Pesa Pasul, Baal Beer, and so on and so forth. And that's the first issue. And once I know that I'm not in violation of Hilchus Yichud, I also have to make sure, number two, in addition, that it passes a test of propriety as well. If this is technically mutter, but it's a little sketchy, that may be mechur hadavar. In which case I should avoid it. I should avoid it, even though technically it's not an Isser Yichud. Now, unlike the dinim of Yichud, which are more fixed, you have a series of kulas and rules and regulations, mechur hadavar is much more situational. You need to see who and when and how and so on and so forth. You have to assess, does this pass the smell test or not? Is this technically it's mutter, but is it appropriate or does this look funny? It sounds funny. It's sketchy. Again, the fact that it's not mechur doesn't itself make it mutter. I have to fulfill both. I have to make sure that's not an iser yichud. Plus, I have to make sure that's also not mechur hadavar. That's something that can come up in various contexts. It specifically comes up with the radvaz. It's one of the most common times will come up. That if we're not visible, if we're not actually visible, if we're not maintaining the Ricky Vager Beis Meir standard, number one, you have to make sure that you are at least maintaining the Radvaza standard, namely that there's a real chance that people are going to come in. And number two, is this appropriate? That's why often one's going to leave the door open anyways for propriety. Remember, the door open doesn't always set, just like the door closed but unlocked doesn't necessarily satisfy the Radvaz, because the door is unlocked but no one's going to anticipate anyone coming, doesn't help you. The door being open doesn't always satisfy the Rekiv Egen Beis Meir. The door is open but there's no one there. We'll get to that soon. The door opens to where? Are there even people walking by? And sometimes the door open may not satisfy Rebbe Kiva Eger, but at least it may solve a problem of Mechur Hadavar. So again, so those are the two practical points to bear in mind. The Radvaz, most poskim seem to line up with the Radvaz, but it has to A, be the real chance that people are going to be coming in, and B, it has to be done in a way that's not only technically Pesach Pesuach, but also is practically not Mechur Hadavar. Yeah, question.
Mechur, it shouldn't work during COVID-19. You can't, if you're not going to have your neighbor walk in, so then you can't just tell him to come.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Right. So Bizman Azah, we hope this period will soon be in memory. Yeshua Hashem clarified Kadosh Baruch Hu could bring Yeshua quickly. We do not know what Kadosh Baruch Hu planned. But for the duration that we are under COVID restrictions, right, if you wouldn't let someone into your house, and or the other person would not want to enter your house, both of which are probably wise. So then, correct, the fact that the door is wide open, but who's walking in? I said, in that case, you may have to come back to Rabbi Akiva in the Beis Meir and make sure that you're actually visible. Let's talk. That is a very good point. A little bit more about the visibility. I want to talk a little bit about Rishus HaRabim. I want to talk a little bit about Laila. And let's talk about Libo Gaspo. And over the course of that, we'll talk some more about expanding on Rabbi Akiva Eiger's approach, because we, Lamaisi, would make like both. So, but again, if the first point was Pasuach, how you define Pasuach, the second question is how you define Rishus HaRabim. So that you saw that the Pizchei Tshuva quote, the Chachmas Adam, Pizchei Tshuva quotes a discussion from the Chachmas Adam about is there enough that there are three people there? Is there enough that there are three people there? We'll probably appreciate that more as we move into the next sugya of Anashim V'Nashim and thinking about how you define Rabbim. The Dvar Halacha understands. This really feeds the Dvar Halacha has an approach. It really feeds into the third point, and that's the point that the Be'er Heitiv raises, which is he quotes from the Knesset HaGedola, one of the early Sephardi Acharonim. The Pesach Pasuach is time limited. The Pesach Pasuach only applies by Yom and not by Laila. And then he goes on to explain. This has nothing to do with halachic Yom and Laila. Eastern Standard Time, Daylight Savings Time, Tesach HaChavim, Gra, Eben HaTam, that's all irrelevant. It doesn't do with the Din Laila. It has to do with the practicalities of are there over in Veshavana? Is there traffic? Is there traffic? And that is, again, going back to the Yayin conversation, you find that the Rishonim and Daf Samach Aleph, by Yayin, the Mishnah of Pesach Pasuach, the Ran explicitly writes in, the Tosa sounds like it as well, that Pesach Pasuach Shoshar Abba is only going to be day and not night, only when they're over in Mishavim. It depends whether there's traffic. So practically, the Dvar Halacha quotes, I believe, from the, if I remember correctly, from Shlomo Zalman, and maybe also from Eliyashiv, I don't remember, that Chuvas, at the end, he quotes Chuvas, he has Chuvas that the Shlomo Zalman sent him, that what this means, over, how you define over Rishavim, they use the language, Kal Seregel Mashuk, Chanukah, gets us excited, the next Yantav coming up, Mirat Hashem, if every 5-10 minutes someone's walking by and could see you, or so someone's walking by and might pop in, so that's considered to be Rishus HaRabim. But once there are no open Rishavim, at that point it's no longer considered to be Rishus HaRabim. And again, that could play out. That could play out very practically. So you're on a date with a young woman, and you want to find it. It's always the challenge to find a place that's private enough and not too private, and private enough that you can have honest conversations, and you can have appropriate closeness without it veering into a concern of yichud. So if you sometimes you can find a indoor outdoor, it depends on the season, and again it depends on COVID also. Whether it's an indoor atrium, once upon a time, once before 2001, there was a marvelous indoor atrium underneath the World Trade Center that was open till pretty late at night. And such places do exist elsewhere as well, even Bizman Azah. But whether it's indoors or outdoors, or let's say there's a bench that's a distance away from the street, but you know, you're still within eyeshot of people passing by, you're going to want to keep your eyes open and see. Talisman, there's still people going walking by occasionally every couple minutes, so you're safe. Once that's no longer the case, so then already you got to find a different location. And again, that notion is perhaps also the notion that you need Ovrim V'Shavim in order to be Yishus HaRabim. That goes back, as a point down the past, to the Gemara, the story earlier in Pe'al Fom and Alpha, the story of Rav and Rav Yehuda, where they're concerned about Yichud Be'urcha, even though they're in the open, they weren't inside a building, but still, there was no one else there except the two of them, and the woman whom they happened to walk by on the street. So assuming that that constitutes a Yichud problem, the fact that open air is not going to solve the problem. Why? Because they know over Meshavim. So that Gemara already is encapsulating the Yisod that the Knesset HaGedolah is unpacking in the sugya of Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim. So what do you do when it does get late? So the Dvar Halacha is in the diet from Shuvas HaRadvaz. One solution to Laila. His solution to Laila is a combination of the following two criteria will be mutter even when there's no longer traffic on the street. And that is if it's wide open, pasuach mamish, and very well lit. So he indicates that if you were sitting at the bay window in the front of the house and all the lights in the living room are on, all the lights are blazing, so he thinks that he's medayik the Radvaz, even though everyone, people are all walking by on the street, but if the window is wide open and the lights are, it is more hated, it's very well lit. So that means any of the five houses across the street, if anyone happens to wake up and look through the window, they'll see you immediately. So then he's medayik the Radvaz, and he thinks that that may be mutter. So that could sometimes be a solution. That could sometimes be a solution for a later part of the date. Again, usually the best solution later part of the date is you bring the pay in. Where are you on the trajectory you're dating? You may be able to bring the girl home and sit with her in the living room, and her family is up and around and about, but they're giving you your space, but it's still in and out. And so that's obviously the best situation. To sit by the bay window, everyone else in the house already went to sleep, but the lights are open, the window is open. So again, you have to figure out, so the Dvar Halacha thinks it's technically mutter, as Pesach Pasuach. You have to figure out whether that's appropriate or that's Mechura Adar. Another similar situation would be you're sitting in the car, and you have the lights on, and you're on the street. So according to this Chiddush, the Dvar Halacha, so the lights are on in the car, and anyone on the street could see. Anyone opens their window, they'll see you right away. So you think that's much even late at night. Again, you have to consider the concern of Mechur Hadavar. This scenario also raises another key point, another key kula, which is an extension. Again, even if you're aiming for the higher standard, everyone agrees that the Kiveig and the base mayor standard is acceptable, that if you're actually visible to Ovrim V'Shavim is mutter, so the Medayik, there's a line in a Tshuva of Noi Behuda, and Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about explicitly in Chelev Dal, that Simon Samachay, where he has a whole slew of Shilas from Simcha Bunim Kohen, so that it doesn't have to be Pesach Pasuach L'Shus Rabim, it could also be Chalon. If there's an open window and you're visible through the window, that's certainly fine as well. There's a very beautiful story they tell. Reb Chaim Eizer was between the two world wars. He was not only the premier posek, or one of the premier poskim, if not the premier posek, for much of Eastern European Jewry. He was also, especially as the Second World War loomed larger, very involved in Tzarchei Tzibur. He was, it's hard to know how many of these stories are real, how many stories are apocryphal. He was a genius who could do multiple things simultaneously, and he could truly multitask. They say that he was writing two different shuvas with two different hands. That's very impressive. The way they described, you walk into Chaim Eliezer's office and he's sort of like writing two tshuvas simultaneously and dealing with the Shaychet Shaila and dealing with the woman came with the chickens and the Din Torah, everything sort of happened at the same time, and he's like, if Chaim Eliezer was conducting this five-ring circus. Hard to know if those stories are true or exaggerated, but he definitely was clearly a brilliant, very prolific manhig who was also intensely busy. Which makes the following situation all the more extraordinary, in addition to, from a midos standpoint, from his point of view of sensitivity, in addition to the Hilchos Yichud angle, which is that they tell the story that a young woman comes to Chaim Eliezer, and she tells him that she's engaged to be married soon, Mazel Tov, and how can I help you? So she said, at the time, the common practice was that the girls didn't go to kallah classes, they got kallah classes from their mothers. The mothers would teach them hilchos, the halach hilchos nidah, the halach of the taras mishpacha before they got married. And the girl tells Reb Chaim Eliezer that she's a yesoma, she doesn't have a mother, and whoever would have otherwise been in the support system, there's no one's available to teach her. And she's getting married soon. So they say that Reb Chaim Eliezer said, have a seat. He's in his office, and he says, have a seat. And he stood by the window like this and proceeded to stand there and for however long it took, an hour, two, three, carefully taught her all the hilchos nidah. He said, no problem, I'll help you. And with a sensitivity that she needs to, yes, we could take a walk in the park, but that would be incredibly embarrassing for this young girl. And she needs to be able to focus. But we need to avoid yichud, so she doesn't have to be uncomfortable. I'll stand by the window. Chalona pasuch l'shasarabim. Everyone who's walking by can see Chaim Eliezer standing there. He's not up to anything inappropriate, and she could have the comfort of being able to sit out of the view of the public. That's a very important point practically. Also, that as long as you set up a situation, chalona pasuch l'shasarabim, as long as one of the two people involved is visible, that suffices. I know of a high school that had a high school that had that set up for their guidance counselor. So a female guidance counselor was able to meet with male students, and sometimes they would want privacy, and then the students aren't necessarily interested in their peers seeing that they're going to speak to the guidance counselor. So the room was set up so that the guidance counselor was visible to anyone walking by in the hallway, but the place where the student would meet with her, the student was screened from view. So as long as either of the two, and that's something that often can be worked out in a therapist's office. If you have, depends on obviously where how the office is structured, it helps to be on the first floor. If you have a window that faces the street, so you can organize room, the therapist is visible and the client is not, and that's a very ideal situation. Dvar Halacha suggests that even if you have a wraparound building, a wraparound apartment building, sort of like a U-shaped building, so sometimes you may be on the 10th floor, the 15th floor, but there's a facing apartment, a facing suite across the way. So if you're if the windows are open, the shades are drawn, and people across the way could actually see into your room, so chalona pasuach l'shus harabim is going to be a solution. So again, let's recap and let's take some questions and let's talk about the final topic, which is libo gaspa. So again, there is a machlokas how to define pasuach, and there's a discussion about how to define l'shus harabim. So in terms of, let's work backwards. Rishus HaRabim means that there actually are people there. Again, whether it's with Chafos Zayin, three people there, but there actually are people there, they actually are over in Rishavim, which is going to be a function of the time of day or night. It's also a function of location. This point I did not make before. Driving on the street, so it depends where you live. Driving down the street, obviously in Washington Heights, Baruch Hashem, there are people on the street all night long. That may have nafkin minis for Hanukkah, it certainly has nafkin minis for Yichud. At 1 o'clock in the morning, it's entirely possible that a couple people pass by. So to drive down the street, well, we'll have to discuss cars more next time as well. But pashup shot, if you're whether you're parked on the side, or even if you're driving, if people walking down the street can see you when you're parked, could see into the car, or you're driving and other people on the highway could see you, could see into the car if they tried. That pashtus is chalona pasuach lishus haradim. And the question is, are there ovum v'shavim or not? So in urban settings, they're more likely to be ovum v'shavim. In some different suburban or rural settings, they're going to be different. Some are busier and some are less busy. So that's something you have to be sensitive to, and particularly if you're picking up a young woman from her home, from her suburban home for a date, or dropping her off, so you may need a more circuitous path when you have her in the car than when you don't. If you're going driving to her house to pick her up, so you're driving by yourself, it doesn't matter how you just go the most direct route, even if it's going through a lot of deserted streets. But once you pick her up, when she's in the car, you want to be all my guys as quickly as you can to streets which are busier, streets we have over in the Shavim. So that's the discussion about Rosh Hasharabim and Laila. And then the discussion about Pasuach. So again, everyone agrees that if the people in the Yichud situation are visible, there's no problem of Yichud. That even Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Beis Meir would agree that if there's visibility, that's Pasuach Hasharabim. The door is wide open, or the Chalon is wide open, and people passing by can see you. Well, anyone who passes by can see you, that's certainly Mutter. If there's actual visibility, again, the door or window is actually open and you're in a part of the house where you're within eyeshot. If not, if it's just a question of the door is unlocked, there's access, then as we said, that's the machlokas. Pashup shot, we would pass in like the Radvaz, assuming, number one, that there's a real chance of people walking in, and number two, that it's not mechuer hadavar. And number three, The last point we have to talk about halacha lemaisa is in terms of libo gaspa, but first some questions. Yeah.
So during the day, if you're sitting in front of a window, a lot of times there's like a glare and you can't see so well. So again, that shouldn't work.
Yeah. So if people can't see you, right? So right. Oftentimes, especially if inside is darker and outside is well lit because of sunlight, so sometimes you can do is turn the lights inside.
Right.
That's the way one-way mirrors work. One-way mirrors are an extreme version of that. Yes, yeah, so you may need to. Yeah, you have to make sure lemasa that someone passes by can actually see it. Correct.
And also, you have to be there mamish the entire time, right? Let's say you want to have to go to the bathroom for a minute. So then, the second they leave that window, it's no good.
Probably not. We're gonna have to talk in a later chabura as we move towards wrapping up. We still have a few chaburas to go. The chazichud. So one of the final conversations is gonna be about the shir zman. The pashtus is that you walk away, you come back. That's not a concern of Yichud. Yeah. Question.
So you were saying earlier that the Ramban says that it's not like some sort of magical thing that the door is just unlocked. There actually has to be a possibility of someone coming in.
Right.
So why does that not apply to? We just said before that a solution would be if it was wide open and well lit, even if there's not so much traffic. So why does it help if it's well lit and by a window, if there's not actually a possibility or necessarily a possibility of someone actually seeing.
Right, that's a good point. So the question of the Mu'ar Heitev, that the Dvar Lach is Medayik from the Radvaz, how does that work? So what he suggests is, if you actually are visible and it's very well lit, so then he says, even though no one's on the street, but if any one of the five houses across the street, someone's going to happen to pop their nose out their window for a moment, they'll be able to see you right. If it's so well lit that anyone from across the street could see you instantly if they looked out the window, that alone, the fact that you had those five different houses, anyone could see you, that's the equivalent to open Rishon. Again, it's a chiddush. It's a chiddush, but the Dvar Halacha does think it's acceptable. So if you can probably something one can rely on, certainly Eis HaTzoreh, assuming that it's not Mechura though.
But then he's then assuming that there has to be an actual chance there.
Yeah, again, if there have to be houses across the street. There have to be multiple houses across the street that people could actually see. Or multiple, again, if it's a wraparound apartment building, multiple facing apartments that could see you. But if you're on the 15th floor and you're on the 15th floor of a beachfront property, there's no one who can see you. So obviously, if there's no one there, there's no one there. Nothing is magical, correct? There are also, so he thinks the Mu'ar Heitev combined with all the facing houses are the equivalent of Ovum Rishon. Right. Question? No. Okay. So the last conversation is about Libo Gaspar. And Libo Gaspa really appears only by the Gemara of Baila Be'ir, but the Pesach Pasuach is sort of tucked into the middle. And the Gemara says, Amar Rava Baila Be'ir Choshem Shem Yichud, and then the Gemara says, Amar Yosef Pesach Pasuach in Choshem Shem Yichud, and then the Gemara goes back to Baila Be'ir with the detail of the exception of Libo Gaspa. So you do get the impression that Pesach Pasuach may be relevant. The Rambam appears to highlight this even more. If you look in the Rambam, on this din, it's Perek Chavdeis, Halacha Yud Beis, is the Eishes Ishai Ishai Baal Beir, Enochashesh Mitchel Yichud, etc., etc., Berli Bo Gaspa, Mahi is a Gaspa, then it's Aser. V'chein kol mishyachedim isha v'haya ha-pesach pasuch v'shlo rabin ein choshishin mishum yichud. So that v'chein is intriguing. Well, what's the v'chein? What's the similarity between Baal Beir and Pesach Pasuch? Just the fact they're both mutter? I mean, we had a whole list of heterim of yichud. So one might, it's not mukhrach, but that v'chein might indicate that Pesach Pasuch is mutter to the extent that Baal Beir is mutter, namely, only if it's not Libo Gaspa. And that diuk would align with what the Chalkas Mechokeh quotes from the Trumas HaDeshan, that Pesach Pasuach is Aster if it's Libo Gaspa, the same as by Baal Beir. Beis Shmuel says, well, Trumas HaDeshan doesn't actually say it, but he quotes it as the Chalkas Mechokeh Kiddush, inspired by the Trumas HaDeshan. The Trumas HaDeshan doesn't say it directly. And the Taz disagrees. The Chalkas Mechokeh, the Beis Shmuel, Machmir, that Libo Gaspa breaks down the Heter Pesach Pasuach, and the Taz thinks that is not the case. And before we even dig into why, just important to realize that this is a very significant issue. I mentioned in passing the last Chabura, that when you think about how you define Libo Gaspa, so here you have man and woman who have a comfortable familiarity with each other. Appropriate, but more comfortable with one another. Less inhibited. So you have example of, you know, cousins, a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law, a man and woman who grew up in the same block. Now the most obvious example of Libo Gaspa is you have a couple that's dating and things are going very well, or even better, they're engaged. Now that's a very obvious example of Libo Gaspa, except that it's not relevant to Baal Be'ir. One hopes that a married woman is not busy dating someone else. That's a very severe concern. However, if you follow the Chalkas Mechokeh in the Shmuel, the Libo Gaspa is also a relevant exception to Pesach Pasuach, that's going to come up plenty. And what that means is actually very significant. That means that if couples engaged, they cannot rely on Pesach Pasuach. Wow. Right. One hopes that an engaged couple are in the state of Libo Gaspa, hopefully, and that's why they got engaged in the first place. In Lutzvah Shadating, not Nachsi Shadating. So that would be a very significant issue. So that again, that's the Machlokas, Chalkas Machokek, and the Bishmuel appear to be Machmer, and the Taz is Mekel. As I mentioned, where the Rambam falls is an interesting question. Because on the one hand, he has that v'chein linking Pesach Pasuach to Baal Be'ir, so that might indicate, like the machmirim, like the Chalkas and the Chokek and the Beis Shmuel, that the exception of Gaspa also governs Pesach Pasuach. On the other hand, the very next word might be meduyik in the opposite direction, because he says v'chein kol ha-misyachirim isha v'ya Pesach Pasuach. So it could be that anyone who's misyachid, that's to indicate even if it is Libo Gaspa. That's why it's sort of hard to know where the Rambam stands. You know, from one word to the next. Neither one is absolutely clear, but they are diukim sosrim. So it's hard to marshal the Rambam as a right either way, but it is explicitly a machlokas on the page, between the Chalkas Machlokas and the Beis Shmuel versus the Taz. Now, Now the Dvar Halacha, the end of Sivkat Mem, so he quoted the Chida, explained the Taz's approach. The Chida explained why the Taz was Mekel and why the Taz thought that Libo Gaspa is relevant to Baal Be'ir but is irrelevant to Pesach Pasuach. Namely, that Pesach Pasuach is Mutter even if it's Libo Gaspa. And that is what the Dvar Halacha quotes in the Chida. He says there's a big difference between Baal Be'ir and Pesach Pasuach. Baal Be'ir, and here, this is not just a detail, this detail sort of brings us to sort of the core understanding of this whole sugya. He says, Baal Be'ir, there's Yichud, it's just Mutter. They are alone, they are being Mishyachay. Reuven and Mr. Shimon are alone together. It is a situation of Yichud. It's a situation of Yichud with a Heter. It's Mutter because her husband's in proximity. Again, how many of you described the defined Baal Be'ir as we spoke about last week? But it's Yichud with a Heter. But they are, it is a situation of Yichud. So Libo Gaspa can eliminate that Heter, and what you're left with is Yichud. I had Yichud. But it's Mutter, it's Yichud HaMutter because of Baal Be'ir. Well, but if it's Baal Be'ir, on the other hand, you have Libo Gaspa, they go to the Baal Be'ir, and we're left with Yichud. Masha Enokan, he says Pesach Pasuach. Says Pesach Pasuach is not a kulam. Shechter likes to pronounce Shechter as well. Pesach Pasuach is not a kulam. Pesach Pasuach is just not Yichud. That's sort of a, I said before, this is sort of breaking new ground. The sugya Pesach Pasuach. Number one, Pesach Pasuach is in a sense more relevant, perhaps more relevant than almost anything else we've seen so far. And also, it's the first time that we might be discussing not a heter and yichud, but a definition of what constitutes yichud. You're in public. Pesach Pasuach is a rabbi. This is not yichud. Again, not yichud may still be inappropriate. If I'm in the middle of Times Square, not yichud. It may still be mechur hadavar to be there. You have to assess the situation. You might not belong there. Number one, because there may be very severe siman chaf aleph issues of histakwas. And number two, it may just be, even if your glasses are off, it may just be an inappropriate place to be. It may be mechur hadavar, but clearly standing in the middle of Times Square is not a violation of yichud. Other issues maybe, but you're not alone. There's nothing private about it. So what the Dvar Halacha says in explaining the Taz, he says, Pesach Pasuach is a rabbi. It's the same thing. Is this not yichud? Is this not yichud? There are people there. There are people there. So what is it there? Libo Gaspa, not Libo Gaspa. It's not yichud at all. I don't need a heter. It's a definition. That's the chidah. The Taz is saying that the Pesach Pasuach is a definition of what constitutes yichud, rather than being this is yichud, but here's a new heter. Which is intriguing. Now, how do you understand the Cholkim? So the Cholkim is Mechokek. Says no, but Pesach Pasuach is Aser if it's Libo Gaspa. So why? The Dvar Halacha quotes, and maybe it's a new Aser, complicated, difficult, somewhat difficult approach. It's Taka Na'ichud, but the new Aser of Pesach Pasuach with Libo Gaspa. So like Aser Drabanan. Rabbi Shechter's approach is no. That it's the Yesodis Tikka Machlokas. The Machlokas over whether Libo Gaspa is relevant, is an irrelevant exception to Pesach Pasuach. The Machlokas whether Pesach Pasuach, Libo Gaspa is Asur Mutter, is a Machlokas. Shefter's approach is the Chalkas Machlokas and the Taz are arguing over what's the nature of Pesach Pasuach. The Taz says, as the Chidah said, explained, that it's not Yichud at all. And the Chalkas Machlokas disagree. The Machlokas says, no, you're not in the Rosh Hashanah. You're Pasuch L'Shus Haram. So it's a Heter. It is Yichud. You're on the side. You're in the house. But since you're Pasuch L'Shus Haram, that's a Matir. So that, what emerges is a fundamental Machlokas, that is what appears to be a detail, again, a very important detail, about Pesach Pasuach and Libo Gaspa. Again, as the dating goes increasingly well, this becomes an increasingly relevant consideration. But not only is it a question of Pesach Pasuach with Libo Gaspa practically important, but Rabbi Shechter's approach based on the Halacha's Chida is that it's conceptually central as well. The Taz is Mekel because he holds this is not Yichud, that Pes Pasuach is not Yichud at all. Halkin Machok is Machmer, he says the whole Pes Pasuach is just another Kula. Therefore a Kula, which like Baal Be'ir, is susceptible to Libo Gaspa. I would add that once you have a Shefter's approach to the Lumdus behind this Chakira, that the Machlokas about Libo Gaspa of Pes Pasuach is really an afkamina in the underlying Chakira, what's the nature of Pes Pasuach, once you say that that's what's really going on, so then I think the Rambam is relevant. Because that Vechein, if you cast it that way, the Vechein at the very least is telling you that there's a logical similarity between Baal Be'ir and Pesach Pasuach, which would make it sound like Pesach Pasuach is not a definition of this is an Yichud, but rather, like Baal Be'ir, it's another Kula. And again, that would align with, if it's merely another Kula rather than not Yichud at all, that opened the door to the Chalkas Mechokek, Pesach Pasuach, is mutter, is a Kula, but not when it's Libo Gaspa. Halacha Lemaisa. The definition of Libo Gaspa, I left until the end, number one, because it's not a definition of any of the terms. Number two, because it brings us, or this allows us to close with this conceptual understanding of Chakira. And number three, because it also wraps us back around to how we pass in Halacha Lemaisa. We said before that the Nachlokas, the Rebbe Akiva Eiger versus the Radbaz, and many poskim line up with the Radbaz. My understanding is that in terms of these two issues, they intertwine. The question of how you define Pasuach and Libo Gaspa. I think the standard approach is to make it like either one, but not like both. In other words, if it's actually Pasuach Mamish, actually visible, then I think it's common to Meiko like Vitaz, even if it's Libo Gaspa. But if you rely on the Radvaz's standard, they're not actually visible, but there's a real chance that people could walk in, then that's Mutter, but not if Libo Gaspa. And not just a question of, well, we'll rely on one Kula, we won't be Mitzar of Kulas, it's actually conceptual as well. Because if you understand the Machlokas, Chalkas Mechokik and Taz, is this not Yichud at all, or is this Yichud with a Kula? How do you understand Pesach Pasuach? Those light up, perhaps, with Rekiv Eger and the Radvaz. In other words, Rekiv Eger's approach, Taka, sounds like it's not Yichud at all. Anyone walking by can see us. So, kishen that if I'm actually sitting with her in the street, on a bench in the street, it's just not Yichud at all. So, if I'm sitting on the other side of a pane of glass, but anyone walking by can see us, that also sounds like not Yichud. Rabbi Akiva Eiger's standard of actual visibility, that really sounds like it's not Yichud. Whereas the Radvaz's standard that people could walk in, that doesn't sound like I'm in a Rishus Rabbim. That just means the fact that Rishus Rabbim may enter into my space is a matir. So that's why conceptually it lines up well to say if we're actually visible, so then Libo Gaspa, even Libo Gaspa is mutter, but to rely on the Radvaz that people may walk in, that's inappropriate when it's Libo Gaspa. That's relevant, again, it lines up with Chakira. It makes sense from a perspective not relying on too many Kulas. And it's also intuitive, I think, that if you're visible, if you're actually visible, you're visible. But to rely on the concern of Libo Gaspa, the disinhibiting impact of Libo Gaspa, we discussed last week, the Rambam's approach to Baal Be'ir, that also is more relevant, and certainly from a Mechura Adavar perspective, to not be visible when you're very close to one another, emotionally very close, sounds unwise. And that is why you should never be in a young woman's apartment. Ever. Ever. If you pick up a girl from her house with her family, matov. If you pick her up from her apartment, that's great. That means you meet her downstairs in the lobby. If her building is frightening for her, She may have to meet her, you know, in the hallway outside of her apartment, if need be. Ideally, hopefully she lives in a building where she's not, you're not always there, so presumably she's, hopefully she's comfortable walking through the stairways herself. So again, there's no safety issues, that you meet her outside. You meet her maximum in the lobby, but you do not belong, a young man does not belong ever in a girl's apartment. If people are coming in and out, at the very least, mechur hadavar. And again, it's also going to be the weaker form of Pesach. Maximum, the best it is, under the best of circumstances, it's a weaker form of Pesach Pasuach. People are coming in and out. That is not a place that you belong, at the very least, from a mechur hadavar perspective. And likely also, as we discussed, from a technical Pesach Pasuach perspective as well.